Next to accepting Christ, I got the most important question you'll ever be asked. But are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for?
No intro or nothing. He's going to dive right
into it. I'm going to dive right into it. So are the things you're living for worth the death of Christ? And if not, who's going to change?
He never changes.
I'm going to preach a very radical message. The word radical, and I looked it up in Webster just to make sure I wasn't out of line. Didn't want Kirk telling me tomorrow, man, you were way off. The word radical means fundamentally extreme. It means that as believers, we have fundamentally tried to change a social system that's anti-Christ. And the economic system, he who has the most wins. Almost every town you go into, you can, except the large, huge cities, you can always find out who's the richest person in town. But he who dies with the most money still dies. So I want to talk about some radical things God expects from us. And I also want to design some methods of how to get there. Number one, that we are radically devoted to Christ. That we're fundamentally extremists in our relationship with Jesus. There's no other relationship that's bigger or stronger or better or that we devote more time to than growing and walking in Jesus Christ. Now, Luke chapter 9, if you want to turn there. And Jesus is talking to his disciples in verse 23. And if I had a voice, I'd love to shout and scream and holler and kick and run and jump. But I'll just stand. Then he said to them, if anyone, say I'm an anyone. Can't hear you. I'm an anyone, okay? Are we all anyones? Just like you're a whosoever? Okay. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. There's a passage of scripture where Jesus says, they call me Lord, but they don't do what I told them. We need to realize that a relationship with Jesus Christ is deeper than just a prayer. We begin to walk this life out led by the Holy Spirit, anointed by God, and our aim is to please God. Therefore, we develop a life of faith, for without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When we come to Christ, we're expected to grow. We're expected to mature. We're expected to make disciples, go into all the world and making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we do that. We do that on an individual basis, and we do it collectively as a church. But the key to that whole thing, am I accepting what Christ taught, and am I doing what Christ told me? Do we have to say it again? I don't think so. Say it again. Go ahead, Tim. And I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm going to get involved in a biblical overview of the world. And I want you to see the difference between a vision for the whole world and a local vision. And most people sitting in churches don't even know what that means. We pray for our community. But do we understand that every single person in this world, maybe 5 billion or 4 billion, you say, oh, Pastor, you're too radical. Without Jesus Christ, they're going to hell.
That's right.
There's no choice. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And then he looked at them and said, do you believe this? Are we blending in with the world and thinking, okay, if you're this or you're that or you're some other mixture, you're some other belief, I mean, that's okay, God understands. Jesus died for mankind, Buddha didn't.
Amen. That's right.
And you may say, oh, Pastor, you're really radical. No, I'm not. If you get to heaven by some other way, why are you a Christian? Amen or oh me?
Amen.
And so our lives are reflection of a God who died for us on a cross, that we reflect Jesus to a world. And you know something? Sometimes we have to make the world uncomfortable. We love everybody in the world. And everybody in the world can have their opinion, but everybody in the world's opinion is not right. And so what the church has done is compromise the truth to gain membership.
That's right.
And because they had this size church and that size church and some other size church, they come to a place where they think they're okay. I do not want to be a pastor standing before God who did not tell the people that he brought to me the truth.
Amen. That's right.
And I don't want to have people in hell pointing a finger at me and saying, you never told me. And so it sounds a little extreme, but it's going to get deeper. As we are okay with Christ, let's do something to make somebody else okay. Amen?
Amen.
There's a life that we live that represents God. And as we're representing God, we need to show the people that Jesus loves them just the way they are, but he loves them too much to leave them that way. That Jesus accepts them, that Jesus is not casting people out, that Jesus is not coming to a place where ignoring them. There are people all over this nation and all over this world who still have not heard the gospel. And what are we going to do about it? That's why I brought up missions. We should be having our youth going on missions trips all the time. We should be having people growing up in this body who are going and be missionaries to some country.
Amen.
We should be having lines of people who want to be anointed and sent out to to touch people's lives, to bring people to Jesus. Because, friends, I hear the church saying the end times are here, the end times are here. Where the end times are here after the resurrection of Jesus. So it's nothing new. And I believe in them. But if we believe in the end times, how are we going to change to meet the requirements that God has placed on his body to bring in the lost? Is that too hard? Can I take another offering? You say, Pastor, why? Because I see potential in so many people in this body that hasn't been tapped. I see potential in so many people that can be used by God to influence your generation. Whether you're 90 or 9, it doesn't matter. You have a calling. And it's not a calling to compromise. It's a calling to stand and say, I know the answer to your needs. I know the answer to the suicide situation. I know the answer to your sickness. I know the answer to your depression. I know to the answer to why you're going through what you're going through and how God can get you out of it. I understand it. And Jesus does. Jesus does. Number two. Was that number one? Number two. Be radically devoted to God's word. I've learned something being sick for a couple days. It's so easy to spend a day watching television. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you people work, and I just kind of work on Sundays. But you can get so devoted to that stupid thing. The Vikings weren't even playing. But how much has, what are all these things kids have now, people have now? iPhones. You know, I used to have grandchildren. Now I got robots. So, but how many of us lives are run by electronics? You can hardly carry on a conversation with someone. Electronics and all the stuff, and I'm not trying to tell you not to do any of it. I'm just saying, don't let it interrupt your Bible reading. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed to you. It's God-breathed to us. And it's profitable for doctrine, for rebuke, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is the most valuable book or piece you have in your home. And please, don't ignore it for something else. Paul writes to his disciples, Timothy, and says, till I come, give attention to doctrine. And you may say, doctrine? What's doctrine? It's teaching. The word doctrine means teaching. Give attention to the teachings I gave you. And we need the Word of God to be survivors. We need to be walking in the Word. We need to be living in the Word. We need to have that Word of God breathe into us by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be radical about it. I made up my mind the first thing I do when I come to church is make coffee. because I know a bus driver is coming in. But then the next thing I do is get the word. While the coffee's making, I start reading, and I'll read at least 2 chapters a day and read them twice so I don't miss anything. And I always tell people, read Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians to start with, and then go from there where you want. But let's get in the Word. I try to read through the New Testament 2 or 3 or 4 times a year, and most of the time I make it. But keep in the Word. Be radical about it. Be extreme. Do you ever feel when you miss reading the Word that something's gone? Something's wrong? It's empty. It's empty. And will you say, well, why do you want us to do that? Because I want you to grow. Do you know the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you'll grow thereby? Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. I believe growth is determined by 3 things, and you may argue that, and you can have your own 3. The Word, prayer, and ministry. When we start putting the Word together with prayer and the ministry to other people, you're going to grow beyond what you've ever imagined. Okay, she has nodding. I deserve a good amen. Amen. But it's true. And the last one is, and I may take a little time on this one, be radically committed to God's commission. Be radically committed to our commission from God. I want to go back over some stuff I talked about. A biblical worldview is simply, a biblical worldview is seeing and perceiving the world as God does. A biblical worldview is perceiving the world and seeing the world as God does. Now let me tell you something. If God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, he should have a way to reach them all. He should have a plan. And he does. His plan is that every believer rises up and does their part in the kingdom of God to walk it out. And that we believe that as we go out, the response is not what we're looking for. That's God's. The response to what the message is God through the Holy Spirit. Our response to the message is obedience. To go and do it. I believe one of the main reasons that we have COC is that we are called to raise up leaders. And we're called to send out leaders and workers. And we're called to position people in a place where God can use them to reach the world. And I believe at times we have failed on that. But I believe there has to be some adjustments. I can see people in this congregation, there's people sitting here right now, you've got a call of God on your life. And you're not even sure what it is. But let's get in the Word together. Let's grow together. And God doesn't give us a calling without an opportunity to fulfill it. And so as God is setting up his plan in these end time days, and I might not even be around that long to see it. Because remember, a year is a thousand years is as a day, and a day is a thousand years. So I don't think I have a thousand years left in me. But let's do this. Let's take the commission, the best that we can here at COC, mature believers, where the thing is not all about me and I didn't get my way and something else didn't happen right, but it's God, I'm fulfilling your calling. Now, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How do I do it? How do I learn to grow? How do I learn to overcome some addictions or some fears or some thoughts that are troubling me and bugging me? How can I stand before you? You stand before him in his righteousness all the time. And we take that and we walk it out and we live it and we allow God to do whatever he's going to do within us. We're not resisting. It's not, God, I want to go to Florida in January and I want to stay there. That's for you, Jeff. It's, God, I simply want your total plan fulfilled in my life. There are people sitting here that's been hurt when you tried to minister. Forget about it. It's over. You got a new life. You got a new life. We grow, we mature, we walk. If you've never been hurt in the ministry, you've never done it. And usually the church is the only one that kills its wounded. But you know, everything becomes so serious and threatening. And what if I lose my identity? I lost my reputation. And the Holy Spirit said to me in a second, Jesus didn't have one. Jesus didn't have one. And so don't worry about your reputation with people. Consider your reputation with God when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just realize that. Don't worry about what people think because you're loving them. You're loving them. You're not condemning them. You're loving them. You're trying to love them to heaven and take them out of the path of hell. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life. And sometimes we don't understand. We don't understand people who are not living in Christ are spiritually dead. And they need a resurrection. And they're looking for a lot of stuff. They're looking at a lot of things. And God is saying, hey, church, rise up. Rise up. Walk it out. Live the life. Jesus said, don't worry about the one that can kill the body. Worry about the one who can cast a soul into hell. And you may look at me and say, boy, that's not a very encouraging message on Sunday morning. I want to tell you something. It should be. It should be. Why? Because it's truth. I'm not preaching something that I made up. We are called by God to be the light of the world. We're called by God to be the salt of the earth. We're called by God to be more than we are. You know, when you accept Christ, we are natural. We're natural people. But God adds his super to our natural. And we become supernatural people. Because the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and lives in us. And God loves us so much. And he loves the people of the world. He's not saying he doesn't love them. He wants them in his family, and they're not in his family until they're adopted in through the acceptance of Jesus Christ. No, there's a difference between God's assurance and death insurance. We have the assurance of life. Death insurance just pays when you're gone. So, what do we do now? This life, if these people here this morning could just take it and share it and give it away. Amen. Just give it away. Folks, don't ever say you don't have the ability. You have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has all God's ability that can do it all. And don't ever look at somebody and say they're on drugs or they're this or they're different orientation than me, they're this or that, and say there's no hope. God can break everything in a moment. I was a drunk. And I wanted to date this girl in Canada. I lived on the border. And I knew to date this girl, I had to go to her church. I was saved when I was a kid and went back and did my own stuff. And so one night I went to church with her. Well, not with her. I wanted to see her. And I walked an aisle that night and devoted my life to Christ. And he freed me from everything that I had that was of the devil. Amen. In under 5 minutes. I can tell you, it doesn't take God a lot of time. You can have it. He's not looking for the church to clean you or me to clean you. He's looking for his Holy Spirit to touch your life. But there are a lot of people that need Jesus. And you have the answer. Not only that, you are the answer in Christ. Isn't it interesting how a mother can hear the baby's cry and know it's hers? Do you know something? God hears your cry and knows you. He really does.